This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial and 98.5 on the FM dial and online at hubcityradio.com. And of course, we are live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Hey, what's up? What's the good word? How are you? Great to be with you on this thirsty Thursday installment of the Sports Hub. David Tewksbury along for the ride with you, sir or madam, the listener. Thanks for lending us your eyes on our website or on our Facebook feed anyway, and of course your ears on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5. Fun Sports Hub on tap for you here today. Lots of hashtag SD preps to talk about. Tina Winter is the head coach of the Warner girls basketball squad. She'll be joining us here in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the show to kind of preview their matchup tonight against Centerville as they make a run at the State B Championship out west there at the Summit Arena in Rapid City at the Monument. And then towards the bottom of the hour, you'll hear from Nate Weck from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm David Tewksbury, and the gentleman clearing his throat is Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. I got to tell you, I'm really excited as here we are, state tournament time, girls basketball. Really excited for these matchups. And as you can tell, I got my playoff mustache going on to the next 2 weeks. You know, got to change things up a little bit. You know, it's playoff time, and I'm really excited for what's to come the next couple weeks.
So that's the playoff mustache, huh?
Yeah.
How long can that thing grow for? Are you going to be like one of the dudes from Duck Dynasty? Are you going just strictly mustache?
Going strictly mustache for the next 2 weeks for playoffs.
That's bold.
Yeah.
How come?
I don't know. You woke up with a feeling. Yeah, woke up with a feeling. I'm like, you know what? It's playoff time. Let's change things up a little bit, and we're going with the playoff mustache.
Going with the playoff mustache. I can dig it. That is good stuff there from Matt McClure. So can you actually grow the playoff mustache, or is it kind of patchy?
It's kind of patchy, but I said, why not? Let's do it anyway. If it grows for a couple weeks or a couple days, you'll start to see it fill in a little bit. You can kind of see it now, but not much.
So are you? Can you grow a beard? Because I'm a beard guy. I've been a beard guy probably, I don't know, for the last 10, 15 years or so. My wife, to this day, wants to see what my chin looks like. And I say, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And every time I do shave my face, I always remember why I had the beard in the first place, because I look like I'm 13 years old. So I'm sticking with the beard. Can you grow a beard?
Oh, yeah, I can grow one pretty good. But the problem is I don't really take care of it around my neck, and it comes more of a hassle. And I'm just like, I'm not doing this. Plus, like, if I sleep and I don't have like my neck shaved, it itches my itches. So I'm like, you know what, I'm just gonna shave it, you know. So I go in phases with it, honestly, but I can grow one.
All right, good to know. Facial talk right here, or facial hair talk on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And now you know that Matt McClure can indeed grow one outstanding mustache. And you can go along with your day about that now. You can share that as bar trivia, right?
That is bar trivia.
It's kind of a weird bar trivia question. Hey, you know those two guys in the Sports Hub? Yeah, the Cobra, he can grow a beard.
He's got to play.
Phil, what are
you talking
about?
He's got a playoff mustache.
It's a weird thing for sure. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by
Mr. Unlimited.
As we're tossing it into the air for this Thursday installment of the Sports Hub, back half of the work week, and maybe it's just me, but this feels like the longest work week that I can recall. Maybe it's the fact that I have no games to broadcast this week, and I haven't been on the road to kind of break up the week, but this week has felt like an absolute eternity.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and it's definitely a little bit weird because we've been in routines, I feel like, the last couple months of having games during the week, and it makes the week fly by, and I'm with you. It's going a little bit slower than what it's usually been.
Yeah, there's no two ways about it. And looking forward to next week, the State B tournament right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And it'll be yours truly, and it'll be the Cobra over here. We're going to be kind of flip-flopping back and forth with State B coverage. I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be an absolute blast.
Yeah, 12 games across the Fox Sports Aberdeen the next week. And I'll tell you what, I'm just excited to be there. And everybody says that the B, there's nothing like it, and I've been able to cover it the last couple of years, but I've only been able to do the afternoon sessions the last couple of years, so I'm excited to see the intensity of the night sessions as well. So looking forward to that next week.
I mean, we cover the Sports Hub together, and I'm thinking to myself, Let's see this thing in the booth.
Yeah.
It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, we could give you some pretty good insight, too, the next days on the Sports Hub as well.
Heck, we've been talking about these teams all year.
Yeah.
So might as well put the two guys that have been covering it all year on the air. Just makes common sense.
I'm excited.
I am, too. Going to be jacked for that. So, speaking of which, we've talked about basketball there in that context, but the other two big sports are baseball and football. I think that's kind of fair to say. And I came across an incredible little piece of audio this morning, and I just had to share it on the Sports Hub here as a part of the jump. And I don't know if this kid has rehearsed this or not, but it's about a 30-second clip of a youngster. Did you ever used to play baseball as, you know, that young kid where you're wearing the old jerseys of like an actual MLB team on them?
Mm-hmm.
What team were you on?
I was on a couple. I was on the Rockies, the Yankees. I won a championship with the Yankees.
Of course you did.
And the Rockies.
Yeah, Yankees always win championships.
I was a catcher, too, on that Rockies one. I know we had Brendan Phillips on there yesterday. He's a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, Rockies, Yankees. I'm forgetting a couple other ones. And when you were in, like, the minors, you had some, like, minor league teams. My brother was on the Lugnuts.
The Lugnuts.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, the Lugnuts.
See, I was never so lucky to play in a house league like that. I played for the O'Reilly's Fine Furniture team.
Oh, come on.
So, I mean, you got like local sponsors that sponsor the team, which is cool.
It's like Bad News Bears kind of thing. Kind of, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like you play for Team Hitch and Post or something like that, or Team Kessler.
And it's sponsored by something on the back.
Yep. For us, it was the front of the jersey, but yeah, the point's the same.
Yep.
And these kids, they played for the Dodgers, and this youngster, I would guess he's probably 9, 10, maybe 11 years old, and he's giving the pregame speech. And this kid's just, a little wet behind the ears, as we've said. And we got some great audio for you. I just had to drop this in.
All right, listen up. It all starts tonight. We must win. One inning at a time, one game at a time, all the way to the championship. And when we become champions, we become the Rolex wearing, diamond ring blaring, kiss stealing, woo wheeling dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun. And I'm having a hard time keeping these alligators down. Woo!
Kid's breaking out a little Ric Flair in there.
Guy's a born leader.
Born leader. He's probably 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah. Hey, when he's in high school, who knows? He could be given more high school or more pregame speeches like that.
Lots of pregame pep talks, that's for sure. And I also wanted to share this because I thought this was very, very entertaining to me. So have you ever found out, every once in a while, if you go onto NFL.com, NFL.com has this really cool thing. It's called, I don't know if they still do it, but back in the day, they used to call it the NFL. Did you ever see these video clips?
No, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Okay, the NFL. It's basically, well, if Team X would have drafted this guy, if that would have happened, maybe this guy's career arc would have been different.
Okay.
Maybe Tom Brady goes to the Cincinnati Bengals instead, and he doesn't win 7 Super Bowl championships. And, if this, then this. It's a very entertaining thing to me. And I came across a very, very entertaining thread on social media the other day, and it's from a guy named Tyler Webb. Okay? So Tyler Webb had this Chicago Bears story about the Hall of Fame quarterback, Kurt Warner. Of course, played for the Cardinals. He played for the Rams, won a Super Bowl championship there with the Rams. And he was so close to getting the second Super Bowl there with the Cardinals against the Steelers. Didn't happen. But he tweeted this thread out. I just had to share this because I thought this was so entertaining and interesting. The Chicago Bears almost missed out, or I should say they did miss out on draft.
Figures.
Yeah, naturally, as the Bears typically do. The Bears missed out on a Hall of Fame quarterback because of a bug bite. A bug bite. Yeah. In 1998, Kurt Warner played arena football for the Iowa Barnstormers. He had 79 touchdown passes, was completing about 65% of his passes. So the Bears naturally called him up, wanted to give him a look. But then Warner went to his fiancée, Brenda, and she said, "Hey, we're actually getting married this Saturday, so you probably can't make that warm-up.
Yeah.
Can't make up that tryout." So he called them back and said, "Hey, can I move this to another time?" They say, "No problem." So he told his fiance about it again. She reminded him, "Hey, we're going to Jamaica for our week-long honeymoon." "Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys. I can't make it. Can we reaccommodate this?" And they say, "Yeah, okay, no problem." But the night before they left to return home from Jamaica, Kurt Warner was bitten by some sort of bug. He says to this day he doesn't know what bug bit him, but it caused his throwing elbow to swell up to the size of a grapefruit. Now, this meant that he had to call the Bears for a third time. Dave Wannstedt was the head coach at the time, and explained, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it in. This time, third time, not the proverbial charm. Bears not happy about it. They say it's not going to happen. Kurt explained on an episode of Pardon My Take that after the third call, the team hung up, never called him back.
Huh.
2 weeks later, he gets a call from the St. Louis Rams, and as some say, the rest is history.
The rest is history. Three strikes, you're out. I understand the Bears' frustration on that,
yeah.
But of course the Bears miss on a Hall of Fame quarterback. It seems like they do it all the time. They could have drafted, when they drafted Mitch Trubisky, they could have gotten Mahomes. They could have gotten Deshaun Watson, too. And they missed on both those guys. Obviously, Watson isn't as good as Mahomes, but he really was good to start his career in Houston.
Yep.
But it just seems like they can't get anything right. They got the first pick this year, and my bet is they're not going to get this year's right either.
If I'm a betting man, my money's going on the Bears drafting a punter first overall. Is that too much? No. They're not going to do that. But I'm with you. They always seem to find a way to screw up the quarterback position.
And
always.
That's why they haven't been good in years, man. I'm telling you. That's why they haven't been good. They had the 1 year when they went 12-4 with Trubisky, and they got to the divisional, and the double doink happened.
Yeah, with
so,
Tony Parkey.
Outside of that, you know, they had a couple good years in there with Jay Cutler, if you remember. They got to the championship game and hosted a championship game against Green Bay. So they've had a couple years sprinkled in where they've been decent. But overall, that Bears team is just I wouldn't like to be a Bears fan. Let's just say that.
What did we say last week? Was it Monday? Was it on the Sports Hub?
Yeah, I think it was Monday.
Yeah, we're feeling kind of blue. The Central girls and boys lost. Northern women lost. We're like, ah, man, this sucks. Well, we could be a Bears fan.
That was on Monday.
I think that was Monday. So, yeah, that's the way it goes sometimes. And finally, the final tweet of this thread, or one of the final ones, says, his first year, full season with the Rams, he threw for 4,300 yards and 41 touchdown passes. Both are things no Chicago Bear quarterback has ever done in franchise history. Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I understand the Bears' frustration with that story. Like, you called us three times, and I'm done.
Yeah, I get it.
I get that, but of course, the guy turns out to be a Hall of Famer.
Knowing the Bears' luck. That's only the Bears' luck, for sure. Someone needs to go to Soldier Field and, like, sage that place. You know what I mean? Do the Kyrie Irving when he saged the garden there in Boston. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, maybe somebody needs to do that with the Chicago Bears. Coming up next, Tina Winter is the head coach of the Warner girls basketball squad. She'll join us next to talk about the Monarchs after this. We're back on this Thursday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. And a big shout out to my guy, Doug. He goes, I checked my phone here real quick in the commercial break. He goes, hey, what's going on with all the Bears bashing again today? It's like, you know, the Bears are just a self-opening pinata. That's who they are.
Yeah, they're fun to make fun of.
It's a lot of content there.
Yeah, there is a good amount of content there.
Oh, man. Bears fans, you know what? I appreciate Bears fans because they're loyal. They are so, so diehard. They're loyal. And it's difficult when your team is that bad for that long and you're still sticking by.
Yeah.
That's a good, solid Bear fan.
Yeah, they got great fans, but their teams just don't win. It's that simple.
Well, they've got some fans are good. I mean, you can say that with every fan base, but when I went to Soldier Field as a Seahawks fan, they were brutal on me. So I'm not going back to Soldier Field at any point in time.
Yeah, also, that reminds me, you probably shouldn't wear a Seattle jersey in Philly either.
Sure. Oh, God, they'd probably throw batteries
at
me.
Yeah, that would be pretty bad,
probably
too.
Try to knock me out, for sure. Tina Winter is the head coach of the Monarchs of Warner. She joins us on the phone line. Coach, good to talk with you this morning. We appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure.
For sure. So, good conditions out there, traveling out west to Rapid City. You got the first matchup, actually technically the last matchup, first matchup of the tournament is tonight at 8:45 Central Time. We'll have the broadcast right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. But when did you guys get in? Last night, I'm assuming?
We got here yesterday at about 1 o'clock, so I had to be here for our 2 o'clock breakfast.
All right, so got the practice in and all that good stuff, and we'll talk about the matchup here against Centerville in just a second. But I was saying to my co-host, Matt McClure, and he's also here in studio, that this is going to be a team to watch out for all season long because the squad lost one game all year in volleyball. And I said, this is going to be an angry team coming forward on the basketball side of things. Have you just kind of felt that momentum from the really solid volleyball year kind of parlay into success here on the basketball side of things?
I would say that every year we kind of hope that the success in volleyball kind of bleeds into basketball. And even with the way that their season ended, unfortunately, it still continued. I mean, obviously it stung the way that it all came to an end for them there. But by the time basketball started, they were ready to go. That first week, they were still kind of in that volleyball headspace. But after we got going and were full tilt, they've been go, go, go since. Mm-hmm.
Guys are 21-2 this year, Coach. You know, did you think that here we are at the B in Rapid City? Obviously, did you think at the beginning of the season that hey, we'd be a 21-plus win team and have a chance to get to the state championship and win a state championship? Did you believe that in the beginning of the year?
I did. I even told some of the kids were asking me over the summer who I thought was going to make the state tournament this year, and I flat out told them, I'm like, well, we should be there. So the success of the season, I mean, if you'd have told me months ago that we were going to have the record that we had, I'd have been perfectly content with that, with the two losses we have being really quality good teams, too, that we lost to. I mean, we had a very successful year.
How long did it take to kind of get over that hangover from the volleyball loss? Because, like you said, it was an incredible season, and it kind of took a little bit of time. Obviously, it still took time. You guys were still finding ways to win games, which is pretty impressive. But how long did it kind of take to kind of get to volleyball mode out of the rearview mirror and move on to strictly basketball?
It takes about that week afterwards. Thanksgiving in there is always kind of a help, actually, because with volleyball, we get a couple days of basketball and just to get them back into it, and then we get a couple more days off, and then by the time they get back, they're ready.
And now you got a big matchup here against Centerville tonight, Coach, that Tukes just mentioned, and, you know, it's funny because you just talked about it. You know, 21-2, they are also 21-2, and both of your guys' losses this year, you got a loss to Roncalli and Florence Henry, really good programs in Class A. They've lost to the likes of Wagner and Flandreau, who are great programs as well in A. So when you look at this matchup here, what's the outlook on Centerville? It's kind of funny, I guess, that both you guys are very similar.
Oh, we are. People kind of keep asking us what we think, and our response is, kind of look, it's a copy and paste for us game. We kind of asked ourselves what would we do if we had to beat ourselves, and that's kind of what we're looking at. So it's been a little different kind of scouting them out than it has a lot of other teams. I mean, we like to play fast and kind of out of control and get up and go, and they're very similar, so it should be a fun game.
Tina Winter, head coach of the Warner girls basketball squad, joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And can you kind of unpack that a little bit, because you talk about playing out of control, but you're also sort of in control at the same time. It's like that reckless abandon. Can you kind of unpack that style of play, and has that always been the style of this team, or is it just kind of one of those deals where it just suits your personnel well?
It definitely suits our personnel. I tell them it's kind of controlled chaos because it looks chaotic and like they don't know what they're doing, and then all of a sudden something really cool or good happens out of it. It's fun to watch, and it's kind of a style that it definitely fits the kids that we have because of their athleticism, and it's a style that we wanted them to play now for a few years, and it's finally all just kind of clicking with the personnel that we have on the floor. So it's fun. It's nerve-wracking as a coach to watch, but it's fun.
Yeah, when I covered that Britton game that you had in the region playoffs, that's what stood out to me, Coach, the chemistry that your team has, the unselfishness, and just – you know, you guys move without the basketball so well. You find the open shooter. Is that something you preach, you know, night in and night out in practice? I mean, it's a lot of fun to watch just how the chemistry of your team. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Lucky for us, that's not something we even have to coach for them because they just come by it naturally. obviously you can see it through volleyball that they spend a lot of time together, but I mean, this group's been together since they were in elementary school. They've played a lot of different sports and done a lot of activities, and they've just built so much trust in each other that it's like playing with siblings. They know what each other's going to do, when they're going to do it, and it's just our our success has been built on the trust and the faith that they have in each other that they've built throughout the years. And it's fun to watch, kind of see that all come together this season.
Once again, head coach Tina Winter joining us on FSA. And this is kind of a dumb follow-up question, but how do you coach a team that is so close and they've been doing it together for years and they know when, you know, a certain, you know, look is given by one teammate to another? It's like, oh, I'm going right now. That's the look. Oh, she just gave me the look. I know what she's doing. So how do you coach a team like that, that's so locked in together because they've been doing it together for so long?
They've made my job very easy for my first 2 years here, so it looks like I know what I'm doing, but sometimes I purely put my trust in them. And that Britton game, we were a little out of sync there the first half, and at halftime it was the first game. We were struggling the first half, and at halftime we went into the locker room and said, guys, I want you to start throwing the ball off the wall again. Start throwing it out of bounds, into the bleachers. Like, just go. Have fun, because that's when you guys play best. So our job has been more kind of keeping them out of their own heads and just continuing to tell them, guys, this is supposed to be fun and enjoyable, and you're doing a very good job when you do that. So that's been more of how it's been, which has been easy. But, I mean, there's times they want to be successful and they want to win, and they're harder on themselves than we ever could be. So,
yeah, Coach, and Lauren Markison and Kyra Markison, you know, they've been a great duo in your backcourt at the guard position, maybe one of the best in all of Class B when you look at it, just their production night in and night out. What do they mean to your program? Because they've been great this year, and they've been great on the defensive end, and they've been able to knock down some shots as well.
Those two, the maturity that's come out in those two is just spectacular to see. I've known them now since they were freshmen, so I've gotten to watch them kind of grow up through their high school career, and the leadership that Lauren has been able to take on this year has been fun to see. It's not something that she has always come by naturally, but it's just when she's on the floor, there's a different kind of chemistry and a different presence that we have. And Kyra's always been go, go, go. I mean, when she's out there, she wants to do well, and I'm glad this year she's been able. Last year she had a little bit of injury issues, so wasn't able to play the whole season. So this year she's kind of battled through some of that and managed to stay on the floor because she wants to do well and because they're both stubborn, which is good and bad all the time. But the two of them together, just hysterical, and I enjoy them. And I'm going to miss both of them next year, not just from the basketball side, but just as kids.
Yeah, very much indeed a player-led team, and those typically go a long way, and obviously you're out there in Rapid City, which ironically enough is a long way from Warner. Tina Winter, head coach of the Warner basketball squad, joining us on FSA, maybe a couple more here before we let you go. And both of these teams, Coach, have had blowout after blowout after blowout. You've got a point differential of 17.5. Centerville has a point differential of 24.5. I know you've had some couple games this season that they've been relatively close, maybe a 2 or 3 possession game. But what's it going to be like in a situation where both of these teams, who haven't had a whole lot of those games, where it's coming down to the wire, it's in the fourth quarter, it's a 2 or 3 point lead or 2 or 3 point deficit? How does a team handle a situation like that and pressure on the state tournament level?
I think it's going to come down to a lot of the chemistry on the floor, too. Kind of having the kids out there that are going to trust each other, that if I give this person the ball with point whatever seconds left, that they're going to do what they need to do. And then hoping that they have trust enough in me and the rest of our coaching staff that when it comes down and we're telling them, you guys need to do this or this needs to be done, that they have enough faith and trust in us to just go out and perform how they can. And I have all of the faith in the world in all of my kids. Any of them out on the floor in that situation, I know they're going to do what needs to be done, and they're going to do it to the best of their ability.
Looking at the stats here, I mean, you guys are so even on so many different categories. They average 60 points a game, and that stood out to me. That's a good amount of points a game. So I guess what's the challenges that your team's going to have defensively? I mean, you guys average – you only give up about 35 points a game. So what challenges do you see defensively against a Centerville team that really does a good job of scoring the basketball?
I think a lot of it's going to come down to our stamina and just how long we can keep our kids on the floor at certain times when they need to be on the floor. They run a little bit deeper than we do on their bench, which is going to benefit them. But like I said, I got some stubborn kids that I have that don't like coming off the floor. They don't like getting beat when they're out there either. So it's going to be a lot of a mental game for them. Say we run about 3 to 4 off our bench, so it's going to be a lot of rotating and a lot of just trying to keep the kids out there that need to be out there.
Yeah, what's that moment like? Hey, Kyra, we need you to come off the floor for a minute or two. You're like, Coach, get out of here. No, I'm not going anywhere.
Usually, it's a lot of they come off and I'm not tired. We know you're not tired, but you need just sit for 30 seconds so that you can get a drink of water. Then we'll put you back in.
You've got 4 fouls. It's the second quarter. What do you mean? Of course, you got to come off the floor. That's the way it goes. But interesting. Well, looking forward to the matchup tonight against Centerville. 8:45 local time for us here in the Central Time Zone. 7:45 Mountain there for you folks out there in Rapid City. Continued success and good luck tonight against Centerville, Coach. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely, our pleasure for sure. And Tornadoes squad, like you hit the nail on the head. They're 21-2. Warner's 21-2. This is the 3 versus 6, and you know, I tell you what, some of these 3 versus 6 pairings are just such coin flips.
Yeah, these two teams are about as even as you get, really, because like we said, Centerville's lost 2 games to Wagner and Flandreau. Flandreau's undefeated. Wagner was the runner up last year, and they got upset in the region playoffs, and they're not in the State A tournament, but they're still a really good program. And Warner lost at the buzzer to Florence Henry, 32-30, and they played Aberdeen Roncalli, who went to the Sodak 16, lost 4 or 5 games all year. So these two teams have very similar styles, and what she talked about there at the end is very interesting. Centerville is a little bit deeper on their bench, mm-hmm. and I think that is a factor in this game and something you got to look at. You know, is Warner going to be able to stay, you know, upbeat? And I'm sure they will, but are you still going to be able to have that high energy late in the ball game? That's a storyline I'm looking at and saying that could be the difference of the game.
And this is a very senior-laden team as well for Warner. So it's kind of like one of those situations where you say, it's the last ride, we got 5 seniors, let's go out on a high note. And a situation where I look at this team and I say, they've got a lot of youth coming up forward. Well, they're probably going to be down next year. And as soon as I say that, Warner's going to go out and win like 20 games next year as well. Don't ever underestimate the Monarchs in any sport. It's like, oh, football, they're going to be down. Basketball's going to be down. They're never down.
Well, it's really funny. When I went to Warner the first time for that region game against Britain, I'm just looking around, just seeing all these banners from their teams. I'm just like, this is unbelievable. State champion there, runner up there, state champion there. I mean, this is... I was just like, wow, they got a lot of banners in here. And like you said, it's just they develop so well with the youth. And by the time they're sophomores, juniors, and seniors, they're great players. And somebody that we didn't even mention is Ava Nilsson.
Yeah.
She's a little bit unorthodox on how she plays because she's the tallest girl on the floor usually, but she plays like a point guard too. She'll get the ball at the high post at the free throw line and look to pass. She'll pivot. She'll shoot it. She'll drive. I mean, she is a difference maker as well for that team. And she had some great dishes and great dimes in that Britain game. She's always looking for her teammates. And that just kind of talks about the chemistry they have. They just like to play fast. And it'll be interesting to see how that one goes tonight. I thought personally Warner was a little bit underseeded there at 6, to be honest with you. 21-2, how are you a 6 seed?
Well, ironically enough, she is, of course, a setter on the volleyball team as well. She'll be playing at Northern next year, and that's kind of one of those deals where, hey, you're a point guard, and you feel like you're a point guard anyway. It's like, well, she's essentially the point guard of the volleyball team, so kind of the way that works out. Nate Weck will be joining us next from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We'll talk about a lot with him, and he's actually, ironically enough, also out west there in Rapid City for the Bee. Rockin' and rollin', it's a Thursday installment of the Sports Hub on FSA. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra. He is Matt McClure. And we're also joined on the phone line by South Dakota Public Broadcasting Zone, Nate Weck. He takes some time out of his very busy schedule to join us. Nate, thanks for taking some time. We really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. And ironically enough, we just talked to somebody out west there in Rapid City in Tina Winter, and we're just trying to keep it there out on the West River side of things. But you did a story about something on the, basically almost on the river there, East River in Oneida with Sully Buttes. And Matt watched it. He sent it to me. I was actually, ironically enough, I was watching it before he even sent it to me. And the story about the Mark Seffner floor there in Sully Buttes, I just kind of want to give you the floor a little bit to talk about that. And how did that even kind of come to be? Was this your idea? Was it something that was assigned to you? How did that kind of work out?
Well, we had kind of seen that they were going to do something regarding, you know, some kind of a dedication. You know, we had seen the rendering, that kind of thing. And I kind of put it on my radar. Our Dakota Life show that we do at SDPB, that one of the host communities for this past season was Oneida. So we kind of already were having some conversations in the Oneida community. I knew about this rendering. So then when we started the kind of start getting a little bit closer, you know, into the volleyball season starting in August, you know, just staying in contact with Brian White, the AD there at Sully Buttes. And when they finally decided, yep, you know, December 21st of 2023, that's when we're going to go all of volleyball season and have this court here, you know, with the rendering and stuff on the court, but we're going to wait to officially dedicate it until it's the time that works and during girls basketball season. So we kind of had it on the radar. I don't know if we necessarily knew that we were going to do a, you know, a 9-10 minute package on it. But it was obviously, you know, in conversations, obviously, with Lynn Seffner, Mark's wife, you know, just making sure, hey, would you be cool if we did this? Here's kind of what we're thinking. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was a great thing to do. I would probably say one of the more challenging stories, because anytime you're doing something to try to highlight a coach's legacy and the impact that they have in a community, there's already a challenge to that. And then you add in the fact that Mark has passed away, you know, you just want to do justice with it. And so we did put a lot of effort into that story. You know, anytime you do a 9-10 minute package, it's going to take, it's going to take a lot of work to put that thing together. But it was kind of a perfect storm because obviously Chloe Lamb came back for the dedication. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of people that were excited about it, obviously the dedication itself. So having the ability to get video of that and that kind of stuff, it was kind of a perfect storm as far as all of the resources being in one spot and Oneida on one night. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to be able to put that together and work on that project. Jonathan Rouse, one of our really good videographers and editors that we have at SDPB, he did a heck of a job too with it. So it's not just me. There's a team that's behind this thing. But yeah, a lot of fun to put it together.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that, you know, to piggyback off of first things first, it was a great or very well done little package there. But I was just going to ask that, what was it like for you covering a story like that and putting that together? I mean, it definitely, like you said, you wanted to do the right thing and try to, you know, remember a great coach's legacy. Well, so what was it like personally for you a little bit there?
You know, it was, you kind of felt when you got there that day that it was going to be an emotional night for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and you guys know it too, you know, in the media business, you kind of have to put the emotion sometimes on the back burner, but it is hard when you're having, you know, these real life conversations with people. You know, there is an emotional side to it. So we knew it was going to be emotional. I think the most nervous that I was with it was when we actually had the piece completed. Before it even went out to air, I sent it to Lynn to watch first, Mark's wife. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I wanted to make sure that it had her approval first before, you know, we went and put it up on television and put it out on social media and stuff like that. So I think, you know, I kind of felt like, okay, I think we hit all the marks. I think it works. I think we've done a good job. You know, we obviously went and did a story on Chloe Lamb when she was a senior. So we actually had some interview tape, too, in our archive with Mark. So trying to incorporate Mark's voice into the story, too. You know, and then, obviously, he's got some interviews and stuff like that with some of the state tournaments over the years. So we were able to put Mark's voice in it as well through that capability. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I mean that in the most sincere way, you know, for what it is. But it's one of those stories that you do and it gets done, and it's one of those stories that you kind of are just, you just know, you know, this is going to be one that I remember.
Yeah, no doubt. And I don't know if you guys plan to, you know, submit that to some sort of awards kind of thing, but I mean, they don't ask me who wins these things, but I would vote for it. I thought that was phenomenal. Phenomenally job well done. And, you know, it was definitely, I thought that was the coolest part about it almost, was the fact that you had his voice kind of in the background with some old interviews that he had done, you know, talking about that 2016 state championship team that went undefeated, and, you know, certainly a lot of great memories for sure. Nate Weck joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And also, You got the Tales from the Hardwood show as well. I mean, how did that kind of come to be? Because, you know, that's not just, you know, an East River show or a West River show. That encompasses the entire state, and that's hosted by Craig Maddock there. How did that kind of come to be?
Yeah, so it's kind of a conversation that kind of started a few years back. You know, we've been producing, you know, 4 or 5 minute football stories, basketball stories, and stuff like that already. So, you know, we kind of had some conversations and thought, you know, it started with football, with Tales from the Gridiron. So it started with that first, and we've done a couple years now where we've done that. And then last year we did Tales from the Hardwood the first time, so this year was the version 2 of it. And, you know, we're putting these stories together already, so the idea was, well, why don't we just, you know, put 4 or 5 of them together, and we'll just put them into a half-hour show, and we'll have a, you know, we'll have Craig host it type of thing. And, you know, I think it's really taken it, because it used to just be, well, you know, you might see this one, you might see that one, you know, whatever. But, you know, when you put it into a half-hour show, now a person has the ability to watch them all. Mm-hmm. So we got a chance to go to Ulrich's this year to talk with first-year head coach Ruth Dreamer, you know, who's a female coaching boys varsity out there. That, you know, they won a playoff game, you know, lost to Edgemont 3 times during the regular season, and then beat them in the playoffs. So, I mean, you got her trying to build a program, you know, Miles Kraske out of Yankton, you know, a world champion badminton player.
Yeah.
You know, so there's all these different types of stories that we can tell, and we just kind of thought, you know, we're already doing these stories. Why not put them into a half-hour program? So that's really how the Tales from the Hardwood origin kind of came from.
Yeah, I caught that yesterday. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, too. And something that you guys do as well on the YouTube page that Brett Nathaniel talks a lot about, right, Tukes, mm-hmm. is the you go back to the throwback games, and you play games from old state championship games and stuff like that. You know, what goes into that? That's a lot of cool that you have all that footage and be able to put that on YouTube, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, you know, we've, you know, our archives that we've got, you know, go back to, you know, 2001, 2002, you know, so, you know, SDPB's been doing the state championships for quite a while now. You know, time does go fast, as you guys know. So, you know, and a lot of that, too, is Brent, you know, Brent Samuel does a good job with doing that, you know, finding these old games and sharing them out. Because, yeah, you know, one of the coolest things that people in South Dakota like to do is they like to reminisce about the good old days and stuff like that. The state championships and stuff like that are obviously part of a lot of people's conversations and stuff like that, especially in small town South Dakota. So, you know, trying to find ways to repurpose that content and stuff like that is also, you know, part of our initiative at SDPB.
Nate Weck joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A couple more here before we get you out of here. You've got the State B tournament there out west. So what are you kind of working on? I know you've got a couple of things up your sleeve there a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I did have a chance to talk to a couple of the coaches yesterday. Arling, you know, the one thing I've noticed, if you look at a lot of teams, there's a lot of teams that have, you know, siblings and stuff like that mm-hmm. that are playing on them. And, you know, and that's, you know, that really is kind of an example of just, you know, what Class B basketball really is in South Dakota. So it's, you know, yesterday we had a chance to talk to the Stephenson sisters of Arlington. You know, two of them are twins, and then the younger sister being a freshman. So it was like we, you know, sat down and talked with them a little bit, got them on camera, you know. And they're excited, you know, the Summit Arena is also putting a hype video package together and stuff like that they're going to air before games at the venue. So, I mean, they're pulling kids aside to do this type of stuff, too. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot of cool things, I think, that they're doing that, you know, it's such a big facility, right? And a lot of these schools, you know, never have had the opportunity to play at a 10,000-seat arena. So there's going to be a lot of cool things, I think, atmosphere-wise, that they're going to do today. And, yeah, I mean, as far as favorites, I don't really pick favorites or anything like that. But, you know, James Valley Christian, they got to play Arlington, you know, right out of the gate here today. And, you know, that could be a good game. You know, I think James Valley Christian only lost them by 2 points earlier this season, so who knows.
Yeah, and we actually just had head coach Tina Winter on from Warner. You know, that 3-6 matchup is going to be fun tonight with Centerville and Warner, just considering that they are very similar record-wise, 21-2 both teams. Both teams have lost to elite Class A teams. That should be a really fun one tonight, don't you think?
I do think so, and I think, you know, I haven't had a chance to watch Centerville live yet this year. So I'm excited to get a chance to see them. You know, I've heard a lot of things about, oh, you gotta watch Centerville. They're really good type of thing. So it'll be fun to watch them. You know, and Warner, obviously, I mean, you guys know it because you guys are in their coverage zone. But, I mean, Warner's obviously a very good team, too. So I think, you know, looking at the bracket, I mean, sometimes you can look at a bracket, right, and you can say, okay, well, this team is obviously going to be the clear-cut favorite. But it's like, you know, I'm looking at the bracket, and I'm just like, man, we could see some really, really good games here the next 3 days.
Yeah, I think that Ethan and Wall game in particular, that second game, that 4-versus-5 pairing should be an absolute dandy. But looking forward to that. We'll have the broadcast of Warner and Centerville right here on FSA at 8:45 tonight, local time. Nate, thanks so much for doing this, and continued success with SDPB.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Anytime. Nate Weck joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And that really was a very well-put-together package there. And we had Coach Seffner on the program, obviously, years ago. A couple times, always very, very judicious with his time. Hey, you know, anytime you need me, we'll talk about this, whatever. And just one of those guys that when the word came out that he had passed away, I kind of felt a similar situation when Vern Smith did. It's just like, man, we talked with him all the time. I can't believe, you know, that these coaches have passed away and they've imprinted lasting legacies on these programs and these kids.
No doubt about it. And shout out to SDBP on putting that package together and remembering a great coach, and not only a great coach but a great person's legacy. You know, and you could just tell from watching that the relationship he had with the girls were great. And you know, he's a legend. And that's it's kind of cool how they did that, named the court after him. And what I really liked, and I mentioned this one time on the jump right before they did it, and they honored it, because they honored it this year.
Mm-hmm.
But they had his autograph above Mark Seffner Court, which is, I think, a really neat little feature that was added to that.
It's a nice touch. And I remember Scott Seffner, he used to play quarterback on some of those state championship running football teams. And I thought to myself, now he's a coach now, and he was an official in the package, you know, and he's a coach there with Sully Buttes now. And I'm thinking to myself, it wasn't that long ago. I remember he was playing for Sully Buttes. So kind of a cool thing there. And like Nate said, time flies by, and it's just crazy how that all kind of works out. We'll take a look at some of the matchups coming up next. The Class B, A, and AA state tournaments, of course, all begin today. And it's also Selection Thursday. I mean, that doesn't exactly have the same ring to it as Selection Sunday, but it does. It does take place tonight for the NAIA. We'll talk about that and much more coming up next on the Sports Hub. Rocking on a Thursday on the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. We'll talk about the State B, A, and AA brackets here in just a second on the girls' side of things. But like I mentioned to you, the 64-team NAIA field, that'll officially be announced tonight at 6 o'clock. Looking forward to that for the men and women. And you kind of said, pump the brakes a second here. 64 teams on the NAIA front. That's across the whole country, right? Yeah, that's right. So NCAA D2, they can't quite figure that out.
NAIA can do it, but we can't at the D2 level. Well, I mean, what are we doing?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about some of these local squads, like a Southwest Minnesota State, UMary. They're not going to make the tournament. Look at how good UMary was this year. How good they finished the season. They lost in the championship round against the best team in the NSIC in Mankato.
And your season's done.
And even so, if Mankato would have lost to UMary, Mankato wouldn't have even made the regional because of where they're ranked right now with the latest regional rankings. Think about that for a second. Mankato, they ran the table in the conference. All season long, they ran the conference tournament table. They finished number one, and if they would have lost against UMary, they would have been left out of the regional. Make that make sense?
Figure it out, Division II. Figure it out.
What are we doing?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Child, please. Pretty crazy stuff. State B tournaments starting out west in Rapid City 1 hour later than noon, so it'll be a 1 o'clock tip off. Arlington, they'll be taking on James Valley Christian in the 1-versus-8 pairing. Ethan will battle Wall. That's an East River versus West River sort of deal there, 4-versus-5. Harding County against Lyman, 2-versus-7. And then, of course, Warner and Centerville tonight on our airwaves tonight at 8:45 on Fox Sports Aberdeen with Ryan Martin on the call. Anything in particular kind of jump off the page to you?
Well, that 3-6 matchup does for me. I mean, the storylines you got there, and I think when both teams are 21-2, I think that is about as even as you can get. And you look at just how good some of these teams are, too, because you got a lot of 21 teams in this B tournament. So I'm looking at that and saying, which one of those teams are going to come out? I don't know if there's a clear-cut number one team. It is Arlington, but I don't know. I think a lot of teams are pretty even there.
Very much indeed looking forward to this. And State A, this will be down south in Brookings. And we got to give some love to somebody that just commented on our Facebook page, and Tim Leverson. He says, hey, let's go Lady Redmond. He's fired up for that one tonight, or actually this afternoon, in about an hour and 6 minutes, as a matter of fact. Sisseton takes on the number 8 seed of Mount Vernon Plankinton. And MVP, they just got past Ron Colley down south in Huron to get into the state tournament during the SODAC 16 pairing. That's the 1-8 matchup there. But Sisseton, they've been a team that's had championship gold on their radar all year.
Yeah, the last couple of years, really. I mean, they got to the SODAC 16, lost the 1 year. Last year, they got in third place and got to day two in the semifinal, lost to a Wagner team that went on to the state title game. And this year, they've come out with a vengeance. I mean, they've lost one game all year, and they score a ton of points, and a lot of these girls have been playing together for years. And I think this is an opportunity for them. You got the number one seed in the tournament. There's obviously a little pressure there, right? Obviously, mm-hmm. because you've been there before and you want to get the job done. And I think this matchup here this afternoon is going to be a lot of fun, because Mount Vernon Plankinton is coming off a really nice win versus Aberdeen Ron Colley, so it should be a good one.
Check that out on our nephew's station over there on B103, a place that both of us know quite well. 4-5, Vermilion will battle Red Cloud. 2-7, Hanson against Sioux Falls Christian. And then T Area will battle Flandreau in the 3-6. That's going to be a basketball game.
That's going to be the best game, I think, of day one. I mean, look at the storyline. You got Katie Fasica for T versus Claire Shepherd for Flandreau. Are you kidding me? That's going to be a great matchup. Flandreau obviously undefeated.
I'm with you. I think that's the matchup of the day. State Double A, you've got 1-8, O'Gorman against Rapid City Stevens. And then the rest of the teams are playing because it is O'Gorman's to lose. Let's just call it for what it is. I mean, I don't see anybody getting past O'Gorman.
We'll say one thing. I think that Sioux Falls Jefferson Pier game, the 4-5, they got the best chance. The winner of that one has the best chance to knock down O'Gorman. That's my personal opinion.
All right. Heard it here first, folks. Okay, we'll come on back tomorrow on the Sports Hub and unpack these games. That's on the Sports Hub on FSA.